This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott back with us today after a day of giving in Baltimore. What's going on, baby?
Kuda Matatos. And who's not in a giving mood is Kevin Durant, who says, "All you bums stink. Hurting my back carrying all you bums. What do you more do you want from me?"
I mean, how about, seriously, how about that quote? I mean, you gotta be,
"What more do you want from me?"
It's like, if there's like, that is the most passive aggressive trade request I think I've ever heard.
Like, "Yo, man, I got sciatica. It's spinal. Carrying all these bums is hurting my back, man.
I broke my back.
It's spinal." 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want you to be a part of Bart Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. And in college football season, without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, it's the one fans deserve. So let's get the calls rolling here as Week 11 of the NFL season begins tonight. We got a good one, right, to start off. I mean, there's a lot of importance in this thing, Titans and the Packers. So a lot to get to, certainly, with that. Can I mention, how about the New York Knicks, man? The hardest back-to-back the NBA can give you. Utah, Denver. I mean, you're talking about you're up in the altitude in both of these cities. Difficult places to play. And just get a couple of dubs, that's all. You know, no big deal. Yeah, no big deal. Just a couple of wins. No big deal.
Yeah, those are schedule wins because the other team went out partying because they thought they had the Knicks.
Yeah, listen, man. When you follow this team, you have to enjoy the little things. Like, every chance you have to smile, you smile. Like, you can't look at it like, "Yeah, well, they didn't have Jokic." You know, you can't do that. You'll make yourself crazy.
They didn't have the Joker. Let's be real. That was Christmas for y'all.
Did I not acknowledge that? But I'm saying that you have to at sometimes. Like, in life, you have to stop and smell the rose when you see one, because you don't know when the next rose is going to come around. You might not see another rose for the rest of the season.
Rose is still a rose.
That's right. So you enjoy it. That's what I try to tell people. Like, don't get caught up in all that other stuff, man. Just enjoy it, and that's what I'm trying to do just for one more day before they play the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night. This West Coast trip, man. Late nights for us here, but... How did it go for you in Baltimore? I said it yesterday. You don't like talking about this stuff. You just kind of like to do charity work. You like to do things in the community, but you don't really promote a lot of it. But I want to give you the opportunity to do it right now. You went to Baltimore. You were a Raven. You're still loved there in that market. But you do this every year around Thanksgiving. Tell everybody what yesterday was about for you.
Well, yeah, for me, it is that, right? It's Thanksgiving, and it's also the opportunity to fellowship with a lot of my former teammates and guys that I didn't play with that, you know, still live in the Baltimore community. And also, it's an opportunity for me to get eyes on some of the guys that live at the center, the Helping Up Mission, which is a place where, you know, men of addiction can go and get their life back together. We all know how deadly, you know, the addiction to heroin is. It's a big issue in Baltimore, something that I've been working to try and, you know, you don't eradicate, but you just try and help and be of service. And, you know, the beauty of it and the reason why we go there and the guys serve and we don't just sit there and eat with them. We serve them because a lot of times we're talking about the people that are unseen, the people that feel like they aren't heard, aren't represented, aren't cared for. And it's just an opportunity for us to tell our fellow brother that, "Hey, man, we see you, we're rooting for you, and we're trying to be of assistance," because, you know, that center is a place that I've been stopped at up in New Jersey, where people stop me and say, "Hey, you know, I've had a wife stop me and say, 'Hey, thank you. You saved my husband's life. Thank you.'" Mm. You know, he's a better man. He's got a job and he's started his own business, and, you know, we got him back. Thank you. And that's just what it is. And for me, life is about impact, and I don't like to self-promote. My publicist, you know, she hates that. When I go to these places, I don't take pictures, and I know anybody that follow me on Instagram, I didn't take that video that was put on my Instagram, you know, and I damn sure didn't upload it, you know. But that was something from some players. So I want to thank, like, Ray Rice and Jamil McClain and Jimmy Smith and Michael McQuarrie and Femi Amadeggio, CeeLo, all the guys that came out and served for about 3 hours, and we served 500 men, and we served 50 women as they're opening up a drug center for the women across the street. But it started with the for men.
It's great, man. Like I said, I'd love to be part of it one day with you. One of these times that we can make that work out, because it's just that kind of work is important. And I know, again, as you are, somebody that
17 year doesn't really like to sell.
That's amazing. 17. Yeah, it just shows your commitment to it too. That's the most important thing, right? Well, is the consistency of it. Is that you say? I mean, I have you haven't been in Baltimore in a long time, but you stay connected to it. You make sure that you continue to do this. So. You know, just a big up to you on that. And I just wanted to give you that chance to at least let everybody know. Because, Bart's off yesterday. Yeah, but look what he's doing. It's important stuff. So that's why we're here for you and here to support you, and also to give you the flowers you deserve for something like this. Meanwhile, like I said, we have a show to get to today. It's good to have you back, of course, and your energy. And you were on Get Up this morning with a lot of things that you talked about, and everybody else did as well. Rob Ninkovich going to join us bottom of the hour. We'll get into more of the NFL stuff. It's going to be interesting this week. So tonight's game is huge for the Packers, and we'll get deeper into that. But for the first time, I think we're going to talk about it as we're getting now into the cold winter months, and we're feeling it here in New York too. It's getting cold now, and that is when snow starts to become part of the conversation. You've always said that. You know, teams start off the season, they have a good record, they get hot. You always say, let's wait till we get to cold weather. You say what? Like, yeah. when the cold pads hit you different.
Yeah, when you got that morning frost on your car, you got to turn the defrosters on before you leave because you can't see. That's when football gets real. That's where you separate the men from the boys. I don't care if you play in San Diego. I don't care if you play in Miami. Or you got to go somewhere where you're going to have to deal with that hawk. And that hawk going to hit you in that chest. And those shoulder pads going to stiffen up. And that ground is going to get a little hard. And when I slam your head into it, you going to feel it. So this is when the bad boys come out like, yeah, Mr. Postman. You was around here running around having fun when it was nice and hot. And I'm sitting up here having a heat stroke. Now it's time to come out where they you smell that? Oh, so much air out here. I can't get tired because I ain't going to get hot. So I'm going to kick your ass all day. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Put you in this phone booth and hit you with a bag of nickels. What you going to do about it? This when the men
you need
come
to keep
out.
Running. You need to keep running to stay warm. So you have to hustle in a game like this. So
this separates the men from the boys. I'm telling you, like no other. It's guys in football. Man, you play football your whole life. You heard Devontae Smith. Man, he run around with my coat. Oh, it's cold. You think he going to be brave when you come across that middle and you make him look like Keyshawn, got him with his ass up in the air with his nose bleeding? Yeah, come on down here, baby. This ground is nice and hard. You talk about the turf and the G-mat and all those little rubber pellets. What happens with them when it gets cold and they freeze and they get stuck together? When I slam your head on it and your body on it, you're going to feel that.
Well, this game, and if the Bills haven't had enough of the last couple of weeks where, a lot of one frustration after another, how about this game? So they have their game with the Browns is at 1:00 up in Orchard Park. And according to Adam Schefter, and we've seen other reports too, but I love the way Schefter worded this, forecast calling for snow totals of 3 to 6 feet. Normally we say like 3 to 6 inches, 3 to 6 feet. By Sunday in Buffalo, including possible thunder snow.
You know what that means. That means like rain, snow, some rain, some
just,
snow.
Just craziness, right. The last time you've seen that, now there's thoughts they might move the game, because of the weather.
Salt.
And just
salt,
so they can end up
salt.
Moving them to Detroit because there's the dome right there.
Man,
the last
Bill's
time
Mafia would do that.
Oh, I think Bill's Mafia would show up for this game.
I'm talking about shovel a path from the airport to the stadium.
That's right. Right. Tell the Browns. No, we'll get you here. Don't worry about it. We'll get you here. The last time snow forced an NFL game to move was also out of Buffalo. It was 2014, and it was Jets and Bills. And they played Monday night in Detroit instead. So the NFL, according to Schefter, is still keeping an eye on things, the forecast and everything else. We'll get Jim Cantore out there letting us know what might happen and when. And so they're going to decide what they do with this game. But, I mean, just isn't it? There's nothing more football than hearing snow, but not just snow, thunder snow. Like, this feels like I need wrestlers coming out, like promoing the game.
Well, Mean Gene, We're going to go in that cage when I pick him up above my shoulders in front of 78,000 in front of the Pontiac Silver Dome, and I host him up, brother. I'm going to have all my Hulkamaniacs getting that big, mean old giant over my shoulders, and I'm going to raise him all the way to the top, and I'm going to press him, and I'm going to drive him through the ground, brother, and I'm going to run to those ropes, and I'm going to hit him with these 44-inch thighs as I come over that neck, and I pin him for the 1-2-3, brother. What you gonna do when Hulkamania and the Thunder Snow Sticks run wild on you?
Thunder Snow Sticks. Snowmageddon. You need to layer. You need scarves and toques and gloves. We need it all.
Elizabeth stepping to a Slim Jim in the snow. Oh, yeah. I love the snow. God is smiling upon you, brother. Oh, yes. Let it snow. Things die in the snow. And I shall pack your body for your transition to the other side.
Oh,
oh yes.
I mean,
oh, we got another one. This is Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I never wear a shirt, not even in thunder snow. Ho!
Rest in snowflakes. Oh. You know, like all of it. All of it. Oh, we can even add that to it.
Oh, Jack Frost snipping at your window. Yes! It stops the rigor mortis. When the snow chills your body,
it stops the rigor mortis.
Welcome
what?
To the cold slab, which is the afterlife. Oh, yes. No wind blowing here. We pack you in snow like Chitala.
What?
And Black Panther. Oh, yes. When they packed him in the snow. And he rolls to defeat Michael B. Jordan because he did not submit. Oh, go see the sequel. Oh, yes.
Did you get a Wakanda Forever promo into a wrestling promo about a snowmageddon?
No, because remember T'Challa when he threw him off the hill. And then he went over there with the 8 people and they packed him in snow.
That's not where I thought he was going to go with that, but
yeah, that just the idea that we went to Wakanda with that was actually pretty brilliant.
But remember,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, they had him packed up.
If it wasn't thunder snow, he wouldn't have made it back.
I mean, we went from like 80s and 90s wrestling to
I loved all of it though. This is what we do. We're all over the map. That's kind of the way this show usually goes. But anyway, so we'll see how the snow situation happens in Buffalo, but there's nothing more football than that. 3 to 6 feet? Come on. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Would that stop you from going to see a game? 3 to 6 feet of snow? That just sounds like football. Anyways, we'll table the football conversation here momentarily. We do have Rob Ninkovich coming at the bottom of the hour. We'll get into things with him. Maybe he and Bar can talk about the best snow games they ever played in, too. So we'll have some fun with that. But coming up in just a few seconds, we should dive into, as Bart referenced, the future of Kevin Durant. Because now all of a sudden it's up in the air again. And Stephen A. Smith also said it's time for one team to pick up the phone and make the move. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit Progressive.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Man, Brooklyn, where you at? How about where's Kevin Durant at right now?
Play us.
So, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Bart, when you weren't here, but you know the story just continues to unravel when it comes to Kevin Durant. Bleacher Report had an interview with him where, you know, this is the thing. When you have a bad loss like they had in Sacramento, it's like then the interviews start coming out. And this quote is the one that really jumped out at everybody. Look at our starting lineup. Edmund Sumner, Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, Nick Claxton, and me. It's not disrespect, but what are you expecting from that group? You expect us to win because I'm out there. So if you're watching from that lens, you're expecting us to play well because number seven is out there. So like he's kind of like saying, look at the lineup around me. Look what we've got around me. And he also, by the way, he talked about his leadership. I'm not a leader. What the blank does that mean? A lot of people say I'm not a leader because I didn't tell Kyrie to get vaccinated. Come on. Or I didn't condemn Kyrie for leaving the team, going out and living his life. I'm not about to tell a grown blank man what he can and can't do with his own life and dissect his views or how he thinks about stuff. Yo, like, he's letting you know how he feels. I mean, he really does, you know.
It might be some animosity against Kyrie too for the shenanigans, because you know he's all about playing ball.
I just think he does, like, for him, I've always said this about KD.
Up all this.
I think he's unaffected by this stuff. Like, I think for him, it's like, I just play basketball. Whatever else is going on around basketball, I could care less.
Do with me.
Right. It has nothing to do with me. That's been his whole thing. But that quote about the lineup, and we're supposed to win because I'm here. But let's be honest. Look at the lineup. How much winning do you think we're really going to do? So let's listen to a couple of takes here on this. And first and foremost, how about Jay Will, friend of the show, of course. You can see him on Keyshawn or hear him on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. And Jay Will had a pretty strong take about what he feels, how he feels KD is feeling right now after some of these comments that were with Bleacher Report.
Everybody wants KD to be Tom Brady or LeBron James. And at the end of the day, KD is that dude that will wear his hoop shorts underneath his pair of jeans. Like, he just wants to hoop. Yeah. He wants to be surrounded by people who want to hoop. And I truly feel like we're getting to this point where I'm not sure Kevin Durant still wants to even be there. I mean, he requested a trade before, that ultimatum with Josiah about Sean Marks and Steve Nash. There's still questions around for KD. For me, yesterday hearing that was like, oh, KD wants to be out.
He still wants to be. I don't think he ever really wanted to stay. I think he knew he just had no choice, and he was never going to sit out because, as Jay said, he loves to play basketball. He does. He's not the type of guy like Ben Simmons sat out a whole year. You know, we've seen players just hold out until they get what they want, and I don't think KD's that guy. So he's like, I'm here now. Remember the thing he said about the recently? It's like he passed somebody. I think it was Vince Carter, somebody on the scoring list, and he said, I'm happy to do it. While I'm wearing a Nets uniform. It was like sort of like while I'm wearing it right now, meaning he doesn't plan on wearing it for long. Stephen A. Smith, he was on First Take, and he had one team that should be calling the Nets right now.
This Kevin Durant got at least 4 more years in this league to do stuff on a similar level. He is simply that spectacular. And if I'm the Golden State Warriors, if I'm Joe Lacob, if I'm Bob Myers, especially the way my young thoroughbreds are looking, they ain't looking like thoroughbreds right now, I would strongly consider what we were hearing prior to the season beginning. KD back in Golden State. Remember, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green and those brothers all signed off on KD returning. It's just that along the way, KD needs to admit, damn, I made a mistake departing from Golden State for this.
How about that one, Bart?
Yeah,
how about that?
I mean, a lot of people
of a group that should have never broken up.
And you look at Golden State and how they're struggling. Like, something's not right. Draymond's not having the same effect, and I know they're trying to, you know, incorporate these young guys, you know, build for the future or build for the present. You know, Steph Curry puts up 50, and they still lose by double digits, I think, yesterday. Yeah. So, like, this team is constituted. We thought Wiseman was going to be that big man. You know, is Looney hurt?
G League.
No. Okay, so, I mean, Looney, you can win with Looney being your big man with Kevin Durant, Draymond Green. No, what I'm saying is they can win, like, if they, you know, because I'm saying get rid of Wiseman as a big man. Yeah, you know, he's hurt his value. How much value does he have? But, I mean, if you want to take Poole, if you want to take Moody, Poole might be the only one they keep on to. But Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman, and a bunch of draft picks to the Nets to be able to restart. And you see what Utah was able to do. Let's see if they can be able to do that because, you know, I'll give you Wiggins, too. So Wiggins, Moody.
Yeah, I think you'd have to move Wiggins in this because of where Kevin would fit. I think you'd have to move Wiggins.
Right. So Wiggins, Moody, Kuminga, Wiseman, and two firsts.
So you'd go – not Jordan Poole. So you would go
I'm holding on to Jordan Poole. It's the only one I'm keeping to replace Steph when he leaves.
So it would be players more than picks in this kind of a deal for the Nets.
No, I'm going to give him two firsts, too.
Well, okay, but you know what I mean. Like normally, a package like this is like a ton of picks because it's a major rebuild. But you're taking on young players.
They need players. Look at what Utah did. They got players.
Well, and then what
did
Ben?
These are proven.
Then you're left with Ben Simmons. See, if you make a KD trade, you're cutting Kyrie, right? You're cutting him.
I mean, I'll bring all them players back and I'll trade Kyrie for the Brody.
Nope. Oof.
Who cares? Nobody. Who cares at this year? You get the Brody. Brody's just going to come there and be just – he can do whatever he want. Like, this year is a lost year. You still got Kuminga. You still got Wiseman. You have you have young players, and he'll be like the alpha dog that's going to put up as many shots as he want. And then he's gone next year. Simple as that.
This is – That whole scenario right there is pretty interesting. I mean, both teams – the Warriors haven't won a damn road
Memphis,
game.
Unless you're Memphis – and you want to get involved in the sweepstakes, put Kevin Durant with that dude and that defense.
Yeah, that's one that other people have brought to Memphis because they have a ton of young players as well. And if you really want to be all in with that work, could
Pelicans
you do something there?
Pelicans got a lot of young players too.
Yes, that's the other one, New Orleans. And, of course, you know, I mean, it's the Lakers, you know, is another scenario to me
if you're ever giving up picks. Them a camp championship. What they got, the 27th pick? Hell no.
No? I don't think that's
The 2027 doesn't help me enough. That don't help me enough. That don't help me enough time. Like, if I'm them, I don't want to
I would trade Anthony Davis and some picks to the Nets for him in a heartbeat.
Then you just lose defense. You still lose defense.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have a guy that at least can play versus a guy that, you know, grabs his back every 5 minutes. No?
Yeah,
this is a fun conversation. Let's again 888-ESPN 888-729-3776. I just like the trade scenarios that could be out there. Stephen A. said the Warriors, and I think that's the best case scenario because for KD. Players. I don't know what it does for the Nets, to be honest with you, but this feels like it is heading towards an end game. At some point, the trade season opens up in December, meaning it's unofficially, but that's usually when things really start to get active. So certainly a story to keep an eye on, but always fun to kick around different trade scenarios. Let's certainly let's do that because it just feels like there's momentum heading in that direction. Meanwhile, there's momentum heading into week 11 of the NFL season. Yes, week 11 already. Thursday night football tonight, Titans and the Packers. Let's dive deeper into that and a lot of snow that could impact one important game this weekend. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
It's like the build-up for the matchup on Sunday in Buffalo. So Rich Hoffman is a well-known weather expert, meteorologist they call them, in New York. And he actually sent me the map, Bart, for Buffalo. And it's the expected snowfall, according to the National Weather Service right now, for Sunday morning in Buffalo is 36 to 48 inches. So they're getting – I mean, it's coming.
You got to tell people how high that is. You got to say the feet. Because people don't know the inches.
Just
for our listeners.
36 to 4. You don't know that. That's come on, man.
It's 3 feet, but you got to tell the people. Yeah, our people,
three,
you know
three
what
to
mean?
4 feet.
Take the thinking out, man. People won't come
that's
on our show to think.
That's like a kid.
Right? Yeah, that's like Beetlejuice off the Howard Stern show.
Let's bring in Rob Ninkovich, ESPN NFL analyst, who joins us right now. And Nico, what's the worst snow you ever played in?
Probably in Chicago, we played in like a blizzard, and it was more so wind. But then we played a game early October that probably was like 8 inches. So not like feet, more like probably 8 to 10 inches. That's about it.
Yeah, the feet thing is what gets you. But you know what really got me though, Ninko, is Shefty tweeting that it's also a possible thunder snow, which sounds like a wrestling promo. Right? That sounds so football. I almost want to see it.
Yeah. I mean, the hard part
wet,
is
heavy.
The hard part about the whole thing is like how do you get everyone's seat open? You know, it's when it's not just 6 inches
bring
you
a shovel.
Dust it off.
Well, they shovel and they put it down those tubes and they truck it out.
No, they just hand shovels when you walk in the building. That's all. Here you go. Take care of it yourself.
I would just think that everyone should just sit down in the snow piles and just like make it just wild. But I think getting to the stadium would be an issue. We'll see, though. I hope they don't postpone it because it'd be a really awesome game to watch if they had that much snow everywhere on the field, around the field.
Yeah. Wasn't it you guys that time where like, the fans were throwing snow in the air because there was so much snow that was coming down during the game and they were throwing in the air. It was like raining snow from in the stands.
Yeah, the Patriots had a playoff game, I do believe,
and it
snowed a bunch before, and then it started during, and they like all the fans were throwing the snow up. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope. Here's the crazy thing, though. Like when you think about that, what people don't realize for players, at least from my standpoint, playing in the snow was never a problem because if it's warm enough to snow, then that's good. It's when it's too cold to snow that it's an issue. The below zeros, people don't realize it has to be close to like freezing or something like that. It has to be like 28, 14. But when you get to zero and negative, ain't no snow coming down.
And it hurts more?
Yeah, I mean, when it's not that like freezing bitter temperature, usually it's more so like around 30 degrees. So it's not cold. You know, it's not going to be cold, but I could see how they might want to, you know, change locations based on everyone getting out and, you know, safely transportation, parking. Because you figure 2 foot of snow on the parking lot, like where's all that got to go to? You know, so it's.
Yeah, logistically, doesn't make sense to play the game in Buffalo if you're going to get that much snow, just for all the reasons that, you know, are obvious. So from the football aspect of this thing then, the Bills, who, you know, I mean, the last couple of weeks for them have not been great. And, you know, you have Josh Allen getting frustrated with the way he's been playing. And now all of a sudden they find themselves looking up at the Dolphins in this division with the Jets right there with them as well. I mean, just this kind of stuff, if they do move this game, they have to play, let's say, in Detroit or something like that, or you're dealing with, you know, the elements that they'd have to deal with in this. You know, the Browns are where they are, and they're still waiting to get their quarterback. But for the Bills, like, how much of a distraction and another unnecessary distraction is this going to be for a team that probably really needs to get themselves back on the winning column?
Yeah, I mean, I think that them playing at home would definitely help them, especially in the snow. Snow doesn't really slow down your passing game. I think that they would be completely fine at home. Going to a different place, that might affect them a little bit. Traveling, you know, not sleeping in your own bed, the comforts of, you know, your routine, all those things can affect the outcome of a football game. So I'm sure the Buffalo Bills would like to play in their home stadium. But we'll see what they do. They got to get this win. They can't lose another one. That number one overall first seed and first round bye is up in the air right now. If they start losing a bunch of games, it's over.
Yeah, let's face it. That's the opening act. The main event is our two former teams as the Jets look to try to avenge
the main event.
The Jets trying to avenge that Patriot loss. And to me, the Jets are the more complete team. But it's something mental about whenever they go against the Patriots. They've lost the last 13. You talk about last game, the pivotal turning point. The Patriots aren't going to beat themselves. You talk about Michael Carter taking a pick six all the way to the house, only to have that, you know, nullified because of a roughing the passer penalty. Do you think the Jets have a chance to go up in Gillette Stadium, you know, being that they're a young unit, to be able to get a victory on the road? Or do you think the Patriots just have their number and know how to attack Zach Wilson and force him into mistakes?
No, I think the Jets have a chance. You know, the defense is very stout. They're very athletic. You know, a couple weeks ago when they lost at home, you know, they had just lost their running back. They just lost their best offensive lineman. So it takes a little bit of time to kind of figure, you know, what are we working with now? And these new guys that are in place, how do they help us out? So I think this is going to be a really, really – interesting football matchup considering both teams need it. The Patriots, if they lose this matchup, pretty much put themselves outside looking in. So whoever wins this matchup in this game Sunday, I'll be at the game. I'm going to be opening the doors, Bart. They asked me to come open the doors to the locker room. So you know they're going to be jacked up.
This is how you know if the Patriots take the Jets seriously. When the Patriots take the Jets seriously, somebody's going to pull the fire alarm. And somebody's going to be outside with the bullhorn keeping the players up all night.
They said, Ninko, they said, put on your throwback, put the helmet on, put the pads on, come open the door for us, get us going, get us ready. I'm kidding. They probably asked me to leave if I did.
I'm about to say, are you going to be any dogs? You going to do the Ray Lewis? Any dogs in the house?
No, that's like a chihuahua. You got to do like
bark like a big dog.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, this is like probably for the first time in a while, the most significant Jets Patriots game I can remember. Right?
It's you been, know what though, the Jets fans, you know, the Jets fans and all the Bart fans out there. Rob Ninkovich bought Bart his breakfast sandwich this morning, so you know, two sides can get solid. Along. In due time.
This better than Russian and American get together in Rocky IV right here, baby.
If I could change.
If I could change. Well,
you know, when I first started working.
You could change. We all could change.
When I first started working at ESPN, I didn't like Nico so much, and I didn't think he likes me so much. But then I could feel you guys change.
So you get along now, but we'll see how things go after the game. That would be a great
I bought the green juice. I brought the green juice, too, though.
Oh yeah, he bought me some green juice. They got that little place downstairs. They overcharge for like everything. So
yeah, it was $20 for 2 8-ounce cups of green juice.
Yeah, $20 for 2 8-ounce glasses. They don't even fill it up to the top. And then I think mine was like $38 for two breakfast sandwiches. It was wild.
Yeah, but I believe they also like sprinkle in some like, you know, 14-karat gold dust or something, right?
Yeah, it was something on that bacon.
Exclusive.
That might have been Porky Pig or Miss Piggy, man. That bacon was good. Apple smoke right there, baby. Somebody smoked that with some cherry wood.
Nico, we appreciate
the bacon,
you as always.
The bacon was thick cut.
Thick, huh? Have a great time up in Foxborough. Hopefully it's not going to snow nearly as much there as it's going to in Buffalo. We'll see how things go there. All the best, though, my man. Thank you.
Tell Bill I said what's up.
See you guys.
All right, Rob Ninkovich. So they are taking this seriously. They got him opening the doors.
Yeah, man. They're trying to bring back some of the old school guys. Yeah. Like, hey, man, we own this matchup.
One of the most – I think it's one of the most significant games between these two teams in a long time. All right, we got calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The question, what should the Nets do with what sounds like a disgruntled Kevin Durant? We'll discuss next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Throw the flag. Told you, every time I hear this, I always think that. Throw the flag. Call the foul. Barton Hot, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Just real quick here. Did you see LaMelo Ball last night? He's finally back in the lineup with the Hornets. He's running towards the sideline.
Damn Pumas.
Steps on a fan's foot.
Damn
rolls Pumas. His ankle again.
Damn Pumas.
He's not playing against the Cavs, so the Cavs don't have to deal with him. The Cavs have lost five in a row. So the x-rays were negative, though, but still, like, man, guy's going to need to play in a
bubble wrap,
a boot, walking boot or something. Just to
I bet
keep
you a big baller brands, he wouldn't have hurt his ankle.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, as we're talking about Kevin Durant and his comments to Bleacher Report, where it was a Bleacher Report? But anyway, the interview that he had where he basically just said, like, look at our lineup. You only expected to win because I'm in it. Like, that's kind of rough. And Jay Will saying that he doesn't think he wants to be there anymore. Yes, it was Chris Haynes. And Stephen A. Smith saying, you know who should be calling the Nets right now? The Golden State Warriors, who are also on the struggle bus to start this season. We want to know from you, what do the Nets do with Kevin Durant? And we go first with some news from Barton Hahn Nation. Bill is in Ohio, hitting us up on the Dr. Bill call online. What's up, Bill?
Hey, yeah, I was just calling about why not the Lakers? I know you're not really talking about them, but why don't they just trade LeBron for KD? That way he can reunite with Kyrie in Brooklyn.
Oof. Yeah, I brought up the Lakers, but not that scenario. I don't see that happening.
That's like a lateral move, right?
Yeah, but I don't see it happening mainly because, you know, Clutch Sports, which is LeBron's agency, there's just no way that's going to happen. How about Jim in New York hitting us up on the Dr. Pacall online? What's up, Jim?
Hey, what about the Atlanta Hawks? I got a lot of young pieces.
What would
Maybe
you give up?
Throw some of the young kids with some picks.
What would you give up? Like, what do you think the Nets should want in return?
Collins.
I know they probably want John Collins, but they ain't going to get John Collins.
Well, who the hell they get? They ain't getting Murray or Trey. Who the hell they try to trade?
You got to give him something.
They tried to get rid of Collins last year.
Remember, he's under contract for another 2.5 seasons. Like, you're getting a superstar. You've got to give up an all-star level talent.
30. He's averaging 30 and arguably
come on, Jim.
The top player in the league for the last 10 years.
If it's not going to be Trae Young and not going to be Deontay Murray, then you're going to have to give me – I don't even know what else is on that roster that I would want. I don't even know if I'd want John Collins as the centerpiece. I don't know if there's a deal there to be made.
Give me Portland.
Yeah, Portland's a good one, too. Mel is in Jersey. Mel, what do you think?
Hey, good afternoon. Can I first say, man, I'm thankful for Kyrie and Kevin Durant for even coming here. But, yeah, man, they definitely got to trade. I won't mind getting a few young pieces, you know, starting over. And I know they want to go to a contender, but, you know, we get a few picks, get a few young pieces, start over. I don't know if we can send them to Cleveland, get the pieces that we sent over there back. You know, Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, I think that's his name.
Getting those guys back.
From center all the way up to point guard, like Utah did. And look at Utah now. Look at Minnesota, what they got for Rudy Gay and, you know, Donovan Mitchell.
I think Utah has kind of given you an example of what you could do, right? You know,
that's why I'm calling Memphis. He can't go back to OKC. I'm about to say Shai Gilgeous, man, he is a superstar.
Oh, man, he's killing it right now. Right?
Remember I said that last year. But remember I said that last year, and everybody was shunning me when I was like, man, go get this kid.
No, I wasn't shunning you. I just didn't think they would trade him. Like, if you look at Memphis's roster and you ask yourself, what would you want off of that roster? I would Dylan Brooks for sure.
The wing.
I might want Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson, yeah.
Like, I'm gonna want him, like, at least, and then some picks. But I don't even know if that's enough, to be honest with you.
This is Kevin Durant.
This is Kevin Durant.
Rudy Gobert got traded for what? Donovan Mitchell got traded for what?
100%. In Buffalo, plenty of concern about the weather, but what about the quarterback? We'll discuss that next.
Bart and Han.